Colossians chapter 1. Looks like it starts in verse number 13. The Bible says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be in things in earth or things in heaven." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to come to your house this morning. Thank you for the safety that you give everyone on the way here. And God, I pray that you just bless the Sunday school classes this morning. I pray, God, that you would bless this class. And Lord, help me just be able to convey a truth, a wonderful truth that you've given us through your word. And thank you for Jesus Christ for dying on the cross for us and for reconciling us to the Father. And thank you for that. And God, I pray that you just bless us this morning. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is the first lesson. We're going to be teaching about the people of the cross. And today is the first lesson of that. And we have to start with Jesus, all right? That is the person of the cross. And so we're going to start with Jesus Christ, the mission of the cross. And this morning, we're going to talk about the word reconciliation. Reconciliation. Now, to reconcile, most of you, I hope you still can reconcile a checkbook, all right? That means to bring back into agreement, okay? Bring two things, you know, most of the time your checkbook, if you spend any amount of money out of your checkbook, your bank statement balance and your checkbook balance are not the same, okay, to start with. And so you have to start adding and subtracting, figure out what's still outstanding that hasn't been recorded yet, that type of thing. And what are you doing? You're bringing those two things back into agreement. And if you get down to the end and they're not in agreement, typically what I've found is the bank's not typically wrong. It's usually me, all right? I've missed a receipt. I've missed something, and I forgot to write it down. So what am I doing? I'm bringing those two things back into reconciliation. I'm pulling those two things back together to agree, okay? To agree. And this is, in Colossians chapter number 1, the verses that we read are talking about Jesus. But in verse number 20, the Bible says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." All right? So Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he reconciled. He brought everything back together. Okay? People can be pushed apart. And sometimes there needs to be a mediator to reconcile those people back together. What is that? It's that third person that brings people back together. Okay? And that is what Jesus has done for us. If you will, take your Bible to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. I'm going to show you some verses here. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13. And I understand this is talking about the Gentiles, the Gentile and Jew relationship, but I believe it's also applicable to our salvation. Our salvation experience, our salvation, the process of salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13, the Bible says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So those that are far off are made nigh. That word nigh means close. Are brought close by what? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? Look at verse number, I'm sorry, I lost where I was. 2:13. Look at verse 14. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Okay? And that wall of partition, I think everyone in life, you've had relationships, perhaps, that there's been a wall, okay? For whatever reason, Maybe it's a friendship, maybe it's a husband-wife relationship, but it seems like there's a wall, okay? And you can't talk to somebody, you don't feel comfortable talking to somebody. That sometimes that happens in a church, a membership relationship. You know, there's a wall that's erected almost, and it just seems like you see the person and you really don't want to talk to them. You just, there's that wall. It's a middle wall of partition. And that's what Jesus says, and the Bible says here, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. All right, so what did Jesus do? Once again, it says here, Jesus Christ is that reconciliation. He's that bringing back together. I like illustrations. So if I was to have, I've got two chairs up here, all right? I've got two chairs, and our relationship with God, when God created Adam and Eve, this was God's relationship with Adam and Eve. They did everything together, okay? That was their fellowship, okay? You go to a church fellowship. We're having a church fellowship tonight. You go to a church fellowship, and you know what you do typically to the person that you're sitting beside? You fellowship with them, right? You talk to them, all right? If you don't want to fellowship with somebody, typically most people don't sit right next to them, right? Okay, I'm not saying you don't want to, but it's just natural whoever you sit by, that's who you talk to, okay? And that's what Jesus and Adam and Eve, that's the relationship that they had, all right? So we're just going to put God, we're going to say God's right there, and man is right here, all right? So we've got God and man, and they're in close fellowship. You know, when Adam sinned, God was down in the garden looking for him. You know, he said, Adam, where art thou? And here's the thing. Here's what happens. Our sin, and everyone knows this. This is just a children's church illustration, all right? Our sin moves us farther away from God.
Right.
Okay? And every time I sin, what my sin does is it progressively moves me farther. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Who's moving?
Come on.
I'm moving. God never moves.
Right.
I've told the teens, I did an illustration with the teens, and I had them, I went online and I found the hardest looking maze. You know the mazes? There may be actually a maze in here. This is the Sunday school lessons, but the mazes. And I gave them each a maze, and I said, all right, I want you to work this. And we did this in teen training hour. And I had already gone through the maze, and I had figured it out. And they were doing the maze, and, you know, they're drawing, and they think they found it, and they start going a certain direction, and then it ends up what? A dead end, right? Well, here's the thing, and this is kind of a side note, and I don't know, you could preach a whole message on this. When you leave God, do you know where you have to go back to start to get to the end of the maze? You have to go back where you left God.
Right.
And so many times people want, well, I want God to meet me over here. All right, listen, God is perfect. God is unchanged. That is one of the wonderful attributes about God. You know, God is perfect. God is not going to, you know, go to where you are. Now, that's why we have a man, Jesus Christ, who is also God, that reconciles. And I'm going to show you that in a moment, okay? Because God is perfect. That's why a sinner can't go to heaven. Because God, that's where God is, all right? But what happens is our sin progresses, and it may be, Brother Chad, I'm not a terrible sinner. It doesn't matter. Bible says, for all have sinned and come what?
Short.
All right. The far, you know, well, I'm not a terrible sinner. I'm not that bad of a person. Me and Brother Jared talked to a man on Thursday. And listen, this is basically the whole premise of what most people, the reason they will not go to heaven is because I think me and God have an understanding. God has one understanding. Okay? I'm not too bad of a person. I've never killed anybody. I've not committed adultery. I've not done, I'm not a whoremonger. I'm not all these. But, go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. And all liars. I'm sorry, folks, but that pretty much throws us all in the same boat. We're all sitting right here. And so what happens is maybe that was the reason the chair was sitting where it was sitting. In the corner. The reason that I can't go to heaven is because my sin has separated me from God. My sin. All right? And it is. There's nothing else. I can't blame my family. I can't blame my circumstances. But Brother Chad, I think God would understand my circumstances. Yeah, He understands your circumstances. And you know what my circumstance is? I'm a sinner.
That's right.
I've sinned. And that is the seat I'm sitting in. And you know what has pushed me away from God? It's my sin. God hasn't changed. God is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can't change. All right? So what is, Brother Chad, what's pushed you away from God? My sin has. My sin has. And we see that very clearly in Romans. In the book of Romans, we talk about that. We talk about the Romans road. Now listen, if you don't recognize the fact that there's something separating you from God, you and me will never be reconciled to God. You have to understand that there's a separation here. Two young men. It was awesome. Friday night we had a teen activity here. It was Brother Levi took care of all of it. I just showed up, honestly. And we had some. We had three or four brand new young people that had come, that had never come, and they were as a result of kids that we had invited a few weeks ago. And they invited the whole list. I got on the bus, and they gave me the list to pick up on Friday. And I'm like, I don't know who any of these kids are. I had a first name and an address, and I'm like, I don't know who these kids are. So I go up, and I didn't even knock on the door. Me and my wife and Caitlin, and so I sent the boys that invited them. I thought, well, you go up to the door and ask them, and they did. And you know what? The two boys. One of them's been coming for a while. You know, Brother Rex Farr preached. He didn't hardly touch salvation. He said, hey, this is a decision you need to make if you're not saved. And during invitation, it was like Dr. Holloway does. Some of his messages weren't really salvation, but during invitation, he always puts that out. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, raise your... Two boys unhesitantly shot their hand up. All right? And I went over and we talked to him, and one of them, he just got tears streaming down his face. You know why? And here's the thing. If you don't understand that there's something separating you, okay, me and God, we got an understanding. No, the understanding is that we are separated. We've fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? We've fallen short. It's not that we don't try. The whole falling short, Brother Nathan, if we're shooting... If we're shooting archery, the whole falling short, it doesn't mean that we weren't trying. You know what? When our shot falls short, we may have been dead on. But if you miss the target, you miss the target. All right? And so that falling short here is that's what has separated us from God. And our sin. So we go to Genesis chapter number 3. Let's flip over there. Genesis chapter number 3. And this is what has happened. Genesis chapter number 3, look at verse number 1. Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." This was a command. Okay? It was a command. "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." So the devil, first of all, comes and he tells him a lie and says, God said you can't eat of any of the trees. Well, that's not what God said. God said you're not supposed to eat of this tree. Okay? But what did Adam and Eve end up doing? They ate of the tree. What was that? Separation. Because they left what God told them to do. So that is the separation there. So we have that. Now, what did Jesus do for us? Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off." Okay, so what's happened? We've been made far off. All right, we've got man and we've got God. What has happened? We've been made far off. All right? We who have been made far off. That's us. That's all of us. So that's the basis. Sin has separated us. Sin has separated us. Now, are made what? Nigh. Are made nigh. Now, in my mind, what I think about when the Bible says are made nigh, okay, it's a reconciliation. Now, there's two ways to represent this, all right? It'd be like Jesus standing here and pulling these two chairs back together, all right? Actually, it'd be just pulling that chair back over here because this one still doesn't move, okay? So Jesus is the mediator. I like thinking of it in a little bit different way, okay? I've been to some pretty cool bridges in my, I say pretty, I've been to some, really only one. Me and my wife on our anniversary went out to Colorado. There's a bridge, I think it's the Royal Gorge. It's over the Royal Gorge out there in Colorado. And today you drive over bridges over a river or something like that, and we just take it for granted. Of those type of things. But you know, there's a lot involved in building a bridge, especially over a large expanse. And the farther back you go, the more amazing, you know, we've got so many new technologies, new equipment that they can use that greatly expedites it. But when there was just basically men and mules and, you know, hand tools, the fact that they can build a bridge over a huge expanse is a really amazing feat. And I was looking, we was looking at pictures when we was out the Royal Gorge, and you know, you've got, you know, everybody's seen them, but the pictures of guys, you know, they're sitting on a beam, you know, probably, I don't know, it looks really little, but it's probably 12-inch beam or something. They're sitting on there eating their lunch, you know, and it's 300 foot down. And they're, you know, just having a good time eating their lunch. Not so much. Now that is an accustomed thing. You do grow accustomed to heights and working on heights. I'm fairly comfortable on, and not that to that extreme, but most heights I'm fairly comfortable. I can walk up and down roofs that don't have really much on the roof, and it doesn't bother me. But that's a custom. Anybody that works construction know that's just something you get used to, okay, is doing that. And I think of this reconciliation as a bridge, okay? Because there is still something. Let's go to Luke. Turn back to Luke. This is a good illustration of it. Luke chapter 16. All right, Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31, we have the story of Lazarus and the rich man. All right, we have the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And look at verse number, let's start in verse 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham where? Afar off. He saw Solomon. I think one of the things that would torment people in hell, all right? And I don't know how all that works, all right? Obviously, we're all still alive, so we don't know those things. But the Bible says the rich man saw Lazarus, all right? But where was he? He was afar off, okay? He was afar off. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a what? Great gulf fixed. What is a great gulf? A canyon. All right? A huge depression in the ground that they're building a bridge across. What did the rich man say? He said, he's sitting here and he says, Abraham, can you send Lazarus over here so he can, all I want just to alleviate my pain is to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. That's how terrible hell is. All he wants is a drop of water on the end of someone's finger just to alleviate for, think about how long that drop of water would last.
Right.
All right? Just to alleviate that pain just for a second. Can you just dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue? That's how much pain, that's how much torment. That's what hell is, folks. And what Abraham's over here and says, hey, I can't do that. You see this gulf? What caused this gulf between the rich man and Lazarus? Sin. Sin caused this gulf. And because of that, Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. The rich man is in hell. And there is a great gulf fixed. Okay? Let's continue reading. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. So it says, even if Lazarus wanted to, he can't come across this. And neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. All right? Now, this is the final gulf. Okay? But I'm going to encourage you, because before this gulf, there is still a gulf fixed between me and God. And what is that because of? My sin. Okay? That's because of my sin. So there's still a great gulf. So what Jesus did, when Jesus died on the cross, all right? Jesus built a bridge. His blood made way for us to be reconciled.
Amen.
That's what happened. Okay? So when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus' blood paid for my sin, and it spanned that gulf. So he basically, if you would, you know, you read old books about them building railroads and stuff, and they talk about bringing the mountain together. Now, they did not physically bring the mountain together. They did not physically bring the East Coast to the West Coast when they built the railroad across our nation. But what are they referencing? They're referencing that tie from one side to the other. There is that ability now. With the blood of Jesus Christ, there is that now that ability to span that separation between me and God. Okay? So, I am man, right? Right? And because of my sin, I've been separated. But the blood of Jesus Christ has spanned that. Now listen, that's available for everyone. Everyone in here has that available to you. All right? And I can believe. Man, we talked to Thursday night, said, I believe in God. I believe that there is God. Most people, despite what they say, even those that are atheists, they still believe in God.
Right.
It's undeniable. There's something still inside of us that says there is a God. We sometimes just don't want to believe it. Most of the time, atheists just don't want anybody telling them that they can't do something.
Right.
They don't want a final authority. All right, and God's word is the final authority, and God's word says that all have sinned
all are separated. Okay? But Jesus' blood has spanned this. What is this? Reconciliation. He's brought, if you would, the two sides back together. Now here's the cool thing. And I think this is the reason I like this illustration. As much as I believe that, yes, Jesus died for me. Okay? Most people believe that, right? I believe there is a God. I believe that Jesus died for sin. Okay? I can stand up here all day long. And I can tell you, I believe. But there's still a what between us? A great gulf fixed that is caused by, once again, my sin. There's a great gulf fixed. Okay? Pastor Robert Ross, I've never forgot this illustration. He told the story about a man that had a tightrope stretched across Niagara Falls. And he had a wheelbarrow. And he walked across Niagara Falls with a wheelbarrow. Okay? And then he walked back across the other side and he said, "How many of you think I can walk across Niagara Falls with a wheelbarrow?" And of course, everybody just saw him do it and they raised their hand. And he said, "All right, climb in the wheelbarrow." You know what? Faith. Okay, so the grace of God. I don't deserve this bridge. That's grace. You know what faith is? Faith is coming out here. This is faith.
Right. Amen.
Because faith, you don't, and I've said this before, you don't believe something that doesn't push you to action. If you really believe something, it will push you to action. Most people want to stand over there all day long and say, I believe. And a lot of folks that go to church, you know what the Bible says? They'll say, "Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works?" And you say unto them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You know what faith does? Faith pushes us from just belief to actually, you know what I'm doing? Wow, that was close. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm trusting that this 2x4 will hold me up. I'm trusting only in this 2x4. This isn't a magic show. There's no invisible pillar under here. This is just a 2x4. Okay? I'm trusting this 2x4 is going to hold me up. You know what I have to do? I have to step out by faith and trust that Jesus Christ. Listen, there's nothing else. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone reconciles me to God. Amen. So you come across here. Now what? This is where Lazarus was. But it's like after you die, listen folks, after you die, you have this time on earth, and only this time on earth, to make that step of faith. Only this time. Because what happens after death? God says, you had your chance. You had your chance as a human being to make a free will choice to walk across that bridge. To be reconciled to God by what? By the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, he reconciled. He paved a way. He built a bridge. But it's up to me. While I'm still alive, listen, we see that in Luke chapter number 16. You don't get another chance to walk across that after death. You don't get that chance. It only happens now, while you still are living and breathing. All right? But you know what so many people do? A lot of people know that it's there. A lot of people believe in God. I know about God. I know. But they've never taken that step. And when they die in the same spot. But that bridge is removed. two men beside Jesus on the crosses.
One of them took a step of faith. The other one died sitting in the same spot. When both of them opened their eyes, one was over there and one was here. You can say all you want about, I believe in God, I believe, you know, I teach a Sunday, whatever. But until you take a step of faith, remember, faith, faith, you only believe what drives you to an action. A step of faith, all right? And you'll find that God has made a way. God has made a way across that. And listen, folks, when we deal with people, I told Jared when we left that man's house the other night, I was like, he's as lost as can be. Why? Because as much as he says, I pray every day. I asked him, is there a time, is there a place that you, I pray every day. Listen, I believe if you are truly saved, there is a time. And more specifically, I think there's a place in your mind that you can go back to and say, I don't remember. I may not remember the day. I may not remember the time, but I remember the place.
Yes, sir.
Yep. I remember the place. But if you don't have that, all right, you're just sitting over here in a seat. All right? Mankind is still, most people believe. Most people believe, but do they actually trust? Trust enough that, yeah, I can, you know, here's what they do. They spend their whole life trying to build a bridge. They're right here. And they spend their whole life with good works laying blocks, trying to get to the other side. But every time they lay a block, think about this. Every time I lay a block, And I sin. You know what sin does? It just pushes me farther and farther. But Jesus, in one, when he put his hands out on that cross, in a way, grabbed one side, grabbed the other side, and said, all right, I'm the bridge. Doesn't matter how far somebody goes over this way. There's only one thing that can still reconcile. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. But we have to take that step. That's a step of faith. All right? A lot of you would be like, Brother Chad, I wouldn't trust a 2x4. If you've been on enough of them, you can trust them. As long as they're not too long. All right? Have you ever, and I know this is a Sunday school message, have you ever taken that step of faith? Or have you just sat there and, I believe in God, I went to church growing up. Have you just sat there and sat there and sat there and, I believe. But listen, everyone has to take that step of faith. God said, I've made the way, I've prepared the path, but you still have to step out by faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for this wonderful lesson, the picture that you've given us through reconciliation. And thank you for your son dying on the cross for us. Lord, I pray that there's somebody here this morning that's never accepted you as their personal Savior, that today that they would ask you to forgive them of their sins, to come in their heart. And Lord, that they would by faith trust you and you alone for their way to heaven. Thank you for that gift. In Jesus' name, amen.